So we will now have our Bible reading from the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Reverend Winston.
Thank you. Before I open up God's word for us, I just want to say on behalf of the English pastors, thank you to everyone who's contributed your time and energy and your gifts in serving in the church in small ways or big ways or in any way, just giving your time, your money, as well as your energy. There is a little video which some of the deacons put together, and maybe Yong, you could put that up on the chat. A link? No? Anyway, have a look at it. If you're on the Facebook news, there's a great little video which they put together. It was so have a look. We really want to say thank you. We appreciate everyone's partnership in the gospel, and let's continue to serve together well in the new year. All right, let's pray as we come to God's word. Father, as we come to your word, we pray that you would pour your spirit into each of us, that we would listen well to your word. Give us humility, Lord, and help us not to be merely hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's been some shocking things that have happened this year, hasn't there? To kick off the year, Australia experienced one of the biggest bushfires in our country's history. Then in January, one of the greatest basketballers, Kobe Bryant, died in a tragic helicopter crash. Then in May, the death of George Floyd sparked this worldwide outcry of injustice and protesting all around the world. And all these things were incredible and shocking events in and of themselves, but without a doubt, what marks 2020 above all these things, of course, is the coronavirus pandemic. The pandemic has literally changed the world. Just yesterday, it just ticked over 80 million cases of the coronavirus this year. 80 million, imagine that. And on top of that, over 1.75 million people have died from COVID-related deaths. I mean, that's incredible. Think about that number. 1.75 million people have died from this, and it's still increasing every single day. There's been so much grief all throughout the world. And I don't know if you've seen those images on the news of just places where they just don't have enough space for all the people that have died. They're just literally just digging trenches and just laying down bodies in these trenches. It's absolutely devastating. There's no doubt that here in Australia, we have fared a lot better than in many other countries. And for that, we can be really grateful. But we've also felt the impact of the virus, haven't we? The pandemic has literally changed so many things in our lives. It's changed the way that we live in so many ways. It hasn't been easy for us. The social isolation, the time separated from family at times, just empty grocery stores for things that we wanted. So many things were a challenge this year. Not just individually, but we as a church have had to make lots of changes along the way. We've had to pivot. That's one of the big words in 2020, hasn't it? Pivot. We've all had to pivot. Churches had to work out, how do we keep people connected? How do we keep our community together when we can't meet physically? And so we've had to take advantage of technology in the best possible way. We've had to pivot and make changes. We've had all these plans at the beginning of the year, but they've been turned upside down when church had to be locked down and we've had to physically isolate. It's been a challenging year for all of us. It's been a challenging year for the church. This morning, I want us to reflect on this past year. And to help us reflect, I don't just want us to reflect on what's been good or what's been bad, but I want us to really think about our journey with God through this year. As you've gone through these ups and downs, how has your walk with God been? And I want to use this passage to help us to reflect, give us a bit of guidance to help us reflect well, and also to think about next year as we move into the new year. So let's have a look at James chapter 4, verse 13. It says there, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money." So apparently there's people in this church who thought it would be a good idea to make some plans, to pack their bags and go to another city for a year, to start a business there and to hopefully make some money. Now, is there anything wrong with doing that? Is there anything wrong with making plans? Is there anything wrong with going to, you know, relocating to another city, to another place to live? That's what my family has done this recent time. We've moved from Maryland West to Chatswood. Is there anything wrong with doing that? Is there anything wrong with us starting a business and trying to make a living from that business? I think we would all agree on the surface, there's nothing really wrong with doing any of those things. So what's the problem that James has here? Well, the issue that James has actually is not so much the idea of making plans and doing these things, but the issue which James has is when we make plans, when we make decisions for our lives and for our families without any reference to God. James has an issue with the person who ignores God, who makes plans without considering whether God wants them to do that or not. And so what James is rebuking here is the attitude that says, God, your opinion doesn't matter. And this becomes much clearer in verse 15. Have a look there. James says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. So whatever plans you make, is it the Lord's will? As you look back at this year, have you made decisions for your life with God or without God? If there's anything we've learned this year, it's that our plans often don't go as we planned. Some of us have had to cancel holidays, cancel flights, cancel dates, cancel destinations, change locations for parties or even cancel parties. All kinds of plans have changed. Our best laid plans have been turned upside down through circumstances beyond our control. We feel good when our plans go well. We feel bad when our plans don't work out. But what James wants us to focus on here is not so much the failure or success of our plans, but whether we made those plans with God or without God, whether God was a factor in our decision-making or not. Now, here's something which I want us to realize, you know, as we reflect. I think that honest reflection is not as simple as we might think. The reason is because sometimes when things go well for us, when our plans actually succeed, we can fool ourselves into thinking, actually, God must have been for those plans. But in actual fact, we never factored God into it at all. So let's reflect well and consider whether God was actually a part of our decision-making or not. It was a part of our process of making those plans or not. Now, I've got to admit, as I thought about this passage and I thought about what James was saying here, at first I thought, you know, is there anything that bad about doing what James is critiquing here? you know, making these plans for your life and for your family and moving location, doing this. Is there anything that bad about it? I mean, we all do that, don't we? We all have this tendency to make plans on our own and make these decisions for the year ahead and do this and do that. But for James, there is actually a serious problem going here. He does think that this is not a small matter. He says that when we plan without God, it's boasting, it's boastful, and it's proud, it's arrogant. In fact, James uses a very strong word here. He says it's evil. Have a look there in verse 16. It says that as it is, you boast and brag, all such boasting is evil. Wow, I mean, that's a strong word, isn't it? I mean, we know what evil is, don't we? Evil is genocide, hijacking large planes of passengers and flying them into buildings. That's evil. Molesting children, that's evil. We know what evil is, but what about making plans for your life for the year ahead? Is that evil? Why does James call it boastful and such boasting is evil? Well, I think what James is trying to tell us here, what he's trying to point out to us, is the sin behind every sin. You see, when we make plans without God, when we say to God, we don't need you, your opinion is unimportant to me. I'm the king of my life. I don't need to listen to you, God. I can do what I want, God. That is the boastful, proud thing that James is saying is evil. It's this pride, this striving for independence from God, which is, in fact, the sin behind every sin. It's the very reason why God sent Jesus into the world, to save us from that proud independence from God, that the attitude that says, God, I don't need you. I can live the way that I want to live. I don't need to listen to you, God. And so James wants to say, don't be proud. Don't be boastful. Don't have the attitude that says, I've got my own plans. I don't need you, God. Now, I think as Christians, none of us would say that, would we? None of us would say, I don't need you, God. I can make my own plans without you, God. We would never dare say that, right? But here's the thing. We don't say it, but sometimes and oftentimes we live like we think it. So we might say, you know, next year I'm going to do this and do that and not give much thought to whether God wants us to do them or not. And so James says to you and me, when we do those kinds of things, he's saying to us, don't be like that. Don't be like a hypocrite. And if you know the book of James, this is one of the key things that he wants to point out in his letter. He wants to distinguish between those who are genuine believers and those who are not, those who have true faith and those whose faith is only verbal, but actually their faith is dead. Show me your faith, or let me show you my actions that prove my faith. So here James says to us, don't be like that. Be the person who not only says they believe in God, but also lives like they believe in God. It's sad, but if we're honest, you know, a lot of the times that's you and me. We say there's a God, but we often live as if there wasn't a God. We are, in fact, practical atheists. We aren't atheists like Richard Dawkins, who openly deny the existence of God. We're not like that. We say there's a God, but often we're practical atheists. We say there is a God, we believe there's a God, but we often live as if there was no God. We live as if we weren't accountable to God. We live as if God wasn't the very center of our life. We live not for our own, for God's ambitions, but for our own ambitions. We live for this life and not for the life to come. And so what James wants for us is for us to have the right perspective in our life. And so have a look at what he says in verse 14. While you do not even know what will happen tomorrow, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Do you hear what James is trying to say to us here? He's saying, don't live as if your life here on earth was going to live forever. You're not living for this life, for this world. If there's anything the pandemic has taught us this year, it's that, you know, we really aren't in control of our lives. Our plans have been turned upside down beyond our control. Our lives are fragile and fleeting. So many people have lost their lives this year because of the virus. And he says, you are a mist. Here for a moment and then gone. It's like our breath on a cold winter morning. There for a moment and then it's gone. We might have the best plans for our lives next year, but the reality is, James says, we don't even know what will happen tomorrow. We might not even be alive tomorrow. Only God, the Creator, knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Only He is in control. Only He knows what will happen. I was once driving to a prayer meeting, which is a good plan to make, right? I was driving to a prayer meeting, and as I was driving to this prayer meeting, all of a sudden this taxi jumped the lights and shot in front of me, and I was just slammed into this taxi almost at full speed. I hit the brakes at the last instant. So imagine the impact, and my life just flashed before my eyes. You know, we really, you know, aren't in control. Things happen beyond our control all the time. I could have died. The taxi driver could have died. Our life is a mist. We can't control our lives, let alone the very next moment. Only God knows what will happen. Only God is fully in control. So James reminds us to have the right perspective. You are a mist. Here for a little while, then it vanishes. And that perspective should teach us how to reflect well on this past year that's, you know, pretty much almost over. And it should also teach us how to think about the year ahead as we make plans for 2021. So firstly, how should it teach us to reflect on this past year? Well, when we remember that our life is fragile and fleeting, that we aren't in control, but God is in control, then it ought to teach us to be very grateful for what has happened this year. We should be able to look back on this year and see that in God's sovereignty, in God's great mercy, He has watched over us. He has protected us. He has helped us. It's not that any of us were more deserving of God's protection from the virus, but it was all God's mercy for us. So as we reflect on this past year, you know, we can see good things. We can see bad things that happened. But I want to encourage us to think how God has been watching over us and taking care of us individually and as a church. In many ways, God has helped us. God has protected us physically. God has helped us not just physically, but also spiritually, has brought us, kept us together, serving each other, used technology to keep us connected. And by God's grace, you know, we are very fortunate that we live in Australia, where it's a country that's surrounded by water. I mean, this natural protection. I mean, how grateful are we that we live in Australia? And we ought to be very thankful for that. So reflect and be grateful to God for all the good things, the very good things that He's done for us this year. Now, as we look forward to 2021, this passage also reminds us that we ought to make plans with God in mind. What is it that God would want us to do next year? Let us have the attitude that keeps asking, God, what is your will for my life? How is it that you want me to live next year? What are the plans that you want me to make next year, Lord? And as you think about that, you're thinking, well, what is your will for my life? How do we know God's will for our life? How do we discern and work out what's God's will for us, our life? Well, the first step that's really important is for us to have this attitude every day, to look into God's word, to open up God's word, and to ask God, God, teach me. Teach me who you are. Teach me your heart, Lord. Teach me, Lord, what are the things that are important to you, God? And God, change my heart and make my heart like yours. Show me, Lord, the things that are important for you, Lord, that they might be important for me as well, God. And as your heart is shaped, start to make plans prayerfully. God, I want to make this important in my life in 2021 because that is what's important to you. So every day, be someone who opens their life, who surrenders their life to God and says, God, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, take my life today and use it for your glory. You know, the English pastors have been making plans for a little while for next year. We can't really reveal what those plans are yet. But as we plan, we've been praying a lot about those plans. And I want to encourage all of us here at CCC to be praying with us as we make these plans, that the plans that we all have for CCC next year might align well with what God wants for CCC, that we're not making these plans independently of God, but these are the things which God really wants for our church. Let us be praying together for these things. And as those plans unfold, let's all keep praying and asking God, God, help us and lead us and help us to do what your will is each step of the way. Now, what is that going to look like for each of you individually? It's going to be very different. For some of you, it might mean that you'll have to make some hard choices for your life. It might mean you'll have to stop doing some things that God doesn't want you to do, to put some behavior to death, to put some sin to death, perhaps. For some of you, it might mean you'd have to change your life quite radically. It might mean you might have to quit your job and find a different job because God wants you to serve your family better or to have more time to serve in ministry. It might mean for some of you that you need to get uncomfortable and get out of your comfort zone so that you would share the gospel with one of your friends or some of your friends for the very first time. What it looks like for each of us is very different. But the starting point is to seek God. God, what is your will for my life? How can I truly live in a way that honors you and gives you glory? So often we live as if we're going to live on this earth forever. But when we realize we are a mist, we need to remember we're not living for this life, but for the life to come. So as we head into 2021, let us prayerfully seek God's will for our lives so that we might not live for this life, but we might live in a way that brings glory to God for eternity. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the way in which you've taken such good care of us this year. Thank you for protecting us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for providing for all of our needs, not just our physical needs and our health needs, but our spiritual needs as well. We thank you for things like Zoom. that's helped us to stay connected in some way. We thank you for the government that has really helped, done a good job in keeping us safe, Lord, and has allowed us, Lord, to do much better than in many other countries. We pray, God, for mercy for this whole world as we move into 2021. Lord, your will be done. Whatever reason why we have this virus with us, we pray, oh God, that you'd use this time for us to remember that we are amidst, our lives are fragile, and we ought to turn to you, Lord, to remember that we need you, God. And God, as we head into 2021, we pray, God, that you would change our hearts more and more to be like yours. Make our hearts like your heart. Help us to truly care for the things that matter to you, Lord, and help us to shape our plans for 2021 accordingly. Lord, please bless each of us in the things that we hope to do for you. Please bless our church in all the plans that we have to bring you glory, Lord. May you, O God, be pleased with the things that we do and the plans that we make. In Jesus' name, amen.